Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
We know the Masters is ongoing. We know it's going to be a challenge for a lot of people that didn't finish yesterday. Only 62 of the 89 golfers did finish their opening round yesterday. And joining us now from the Golf Channel to talk about that and more is Charlie Reimer on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Charlie, always a pleasure having you on. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm happy to talk all the golf and Masters y'all want to talk, but you got to help me out a little bit. What in the world is going on with Freed, and are we going to get Strider back? You gotta feed me a little bit on this.
Okay, we'll work with you here now. Max Fried, we hope, can return to normal tonight. It's been way out of the ordinary, as we all know. And Spencer Strider, you're not going to see him for a while, unfortunately.
I hadn't had a chance to follow the news this week. I've been in Augusta, but man, I hate hearing that. I hope it's not related to him coming up with a curveball in the offseason. That's the only thing I was kind of worried about. But I'm a huge Braves fan, and my wife and I watch every night. We were there for the home opener. And I hate to hear that about Strider, but hopefully Fried will get it going again.
Hey, Charlie, just real quick, the Braves are going to make at least a more official announcement this weekend. They wanted 4 days of just leave us alone. There should be some other news coming out. Nobody believes he's going to be anywhere close to pitching this year. So, and then the Max Fried thing, fingers crossed, Charlie, fingers crossed, because that's all we can do.
All right. Yes. All right. Let's get him rolling. My man is Ozzie Albies. I love watching him play ball because of the joy that he has. Nobody has more fun playing baseball than Ozzie Albies. I've never met him. I'm just a huge fan. So, we watch him every night except during Masters Week. I've got my hands tied up down here.
Well, understandably so. In Augusta is Charlie Reimer from the Golf Channel on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker.
If you want to come down one day when you're not doing golf stuff, golf business, come on down. We'll get you on the field early and you get a chance to meet Ozzie.
Play some golf. I'm only an hour and 50 from the ballpark. So you guys come on up. We'll be happy to roll out the red carpet for you at Macklemore.
Sounds like a win-win.
Did you just invite me to play at Augusta? Is that what just happened, Charlie?
I got you going the other direction. I wish I could invite you to play at Augusta.
Thank you. I would take the invitation.
Sometimes, Charlie, around these parts, we hear what we want to hear. Anyway, who is similar to Ozzie Albies in the sport of golf? Who brings joy to the course every day? Can you think of anybody?
I'll tell you what, it's kind of old school, but like Peter Jacobson, and Albies looks to me like he's a little bit of a trickster. They always got a little something going on, which I like following. And I was always trying to mess with people in the locker room and all of that. But Peter Jacobson is a guy that of course he's, doing just a little bit of TV now, but he was really a role model for me. And every time you saw him, you got to play with him, you saw him interacting with folks in the pro-am, you just got a sense that he absolutely loved playing the game, everything about it. And so I'm fortunate I got a chance to spend a lot of time with him, still keep up with him and learned a lot from him, but just the pure joy of it. And to be honest with you, a lot of the younger guys are, they're just too damn serious. I'll just tell you that right up front. I mean, you get to play golf for a living, and right now they're playing for an unbelievable amount of money week in and week out on the LIV or on a PGA Tour, because the tour purses have gone up dramatically because they have to compete with LIV. And I can tell you, if I were playing now, I'd be smiling a lot more than I see these guys smiling. And the other thing is, if we'd had the kind of money they got now when I played, I'd have tried a lot harder, too.
So let's get the Tiger Woods stuff out of the way, and we'll come back to some of these other things. Can you explain, years ago when he was on his roll, he was historically great. I thought when he drove up on a Thursday at a major, he was three strokes up on everybody. Before anybody swung a club, he pulled into the parking lot.
Right.
So is that a fair statement? I've never even asked anybody in the golf world if that's a good way to put it.
Well, yeah, it's a fair statement. If you look at, just look at the record. I mean, clearly he thought that. You look at his closing rate. I was looking at a stat the other day. When Tiger's got the fourth round lead in his career, he's won like 88% of the time. And if you look at the fourth round leader In general, in professional golf, the win percentage is only like about 20%. I mean, he was the man for shots when he rolls up. This can't do what he's done unless you have an irrational belief in your own abilities.
But
he's always had.
Did he spook other
What's
people?
That?
Did he spook other people in a sense that people also knew?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, he got in everybody's head. He got in Ernie Els's head. He got in Phil Mickelson's head. Look at what those two guys, what their career would have been. I mean, they've had great careers, but what they would have been if Tiger wasn't there. The Tiger has said the only guy that ever really got his attention was David Duvall. And David got around Tiger to number one in the world when Tiger was playing some great golf. That's what he said. Everybody else, yeah, the guy walks in the room, the temperature goes up. I mean, he's the man. Coming out here around this golf course, the patrons, where are they going? They're going out to watch Tiger. And he, by the way, he is swinging the club beautifully. The chipping is great. He's solid on the greens. And if it were where you could take a golf cart and it wasn't cart path only, I think he'd still have a really good shot of winning this golf tournament. I saw him late yesterday. The gate was a little rough. He was kind of giving into it. And today he's got to play 23 holes. I just don't know if the body will hold up. And people that have never walked these grounds don't realize it's a tough walk. It's about 7 miles. There's a lot of uphill. There's a lot of downhill. There's a lot of side hill, and that's what really gets him. The walking to his ball and playing the shots in particular from those side hill wise.
Okay. Normal wear and tear, not having the incident at Thanksgiving. If I ask you how many majors do you think he would have won, what would your number be?
I think he would have caught Mr. Nicklaus. I think that, and it's interesting too how you count majors. You know, when Jack Nicklaus won his last major here in 1986, that you go back and listen to TV coverage, they gave him credit for 20 because when he won the U.S. Amateurs, he won two, those were major championships. So I think if you count the U.S. Amateurs, Tiger got three. So he's one closer to Mr. Nicklaus. But I think Tiger would have caught Jack Nicklaus if he hadn't had the injuries that he's had and a lot of the off course distraction that everybody knows about. And I certainly think that would have happened because he was just on such a roll and so intimidating. And there was so much space between him and the next best players.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Charlie Reimer with us from the Golf Channel on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Right now, Tiger 1-over through 4 on the day. The projected cut is 2-over. Let's go to the top of the leaderboard. Max Homa is now tied with Bryson DeChambeau. And we could talk about Scottie Scheffler, Charlie, momentarily. DeChambeau, were you surprised by what you saw? Because remember what he said about taking on this course, and then it didn't work out that way. But now, all of a sudden, apparently he's a little bit thinner than he was, and it seems like it's benefiting his game.
He's a fascinating guy. I mean, he looks into everything, you know, electrons and quarks and quantum entanglement. And I mean, it's just unbelievable what all he's dug into. And he's admittedly experimented too much, in particular with his body when he added all of that muscle, you know, and he just looked like he was going to throw up because he's eating so much protein all the time and figured out it wasn't helping his golf game, you know, long term and not good for his body long term either. But he comes in being a different DeChambeau, he's very humble in his press conference post round yesterday, and you know, he's the guy a few years back that said, hey, listen, you know, I'm so good. This is a par 67 for me. And Augusta, the forces that control fate in the universe with golf did not like hearing that. In the last 2 years, he's missed the cut here. And he comes in playing pretty well. Of course, he's a member of LIV, and his last three starts over there, he's got top seven finishes. So he comes in playing well. He's a lot more humble than he used to be. He's meddling a lot less and kind of settling in on the formula. And it was a heck of a round of golf and very challenging conditions. That 65 that he shot, but I'm telling you, it wasn't as good as the 66 that Scheffler shot later in the day when the wind was up a whole lot more. That Scheffler round bogey-free in those conditions was absolutely spectacular.
So you need to have a great relationship with your caddy. He has to be in charge when he's supposed to be in charge and pull back a little bit when he needs to pull back. How many times do you think over the course of 4 days at Augusta these guys honestly question what club they have in their hand, and can that be the difference in winning and losing?
Yeah, it's a challenge when the winds are normal, you know, 5, 10, 12 miles an hour. But these winds that are whipping through here, not only do they change velocity, but they change direction as well. And in particular, when you go down and look at 11 and 12, I've got a photo, a screensaver, actually, that one of the times I was fortunate enough to play, I was standing to the right of 12 green on the forward 13 tee. And the flag stick on 12 and the flag stick 11, they're about 80, 90 yards apart. And they were both looking at each other. It's 70 yards away. It's in my face at the flag stick right in front of me. It's downwind. And you can see it. At times yesterday, the pines up above 12 were whipping. The flag stick was limp. It is really a challenge to get the right club in your hands in the right trajectory, the right shot. You got to take spin off. And the conditions are changing constantly. This thing is double black diamonds. And also, if you haven't been on the grounds and looked at the golf course, what makes it so special is within the structure of these greens, you have bathtubs, places where the ball will gather, and you've got pedestals, places where the ball will get repelled. When those flagsticks are in those bathtubs, they are right on the edge of big trouble. So it's in the design, and it was intentional from Bobby Jones and Alistair McKenzie. They wanted to entice players to pull off the hero shot. To do that, you got to make sure it's possible to pull it off. And so just about every shot, there's some sort of risk-reward calculation that you've got to go through. And you got to make sure that when you're over the shot, you've committed to that and you're not caught between two different shots. Because when that happens, Augusta jumps up and bites you on the butt.
Yeah, I just thought it was too simple when everybody said driver, putter, driver, putter, driver, putter. I like the idea that a bag comes into play, the totality of the bag coming into play.
Right. And it's what we call strategic golf. It's a poster child of strategic golf where based on the wind conditions, the hole locations, the firmness of the course, how you feel, how you're playing, you have to make decisions on every single shot out there. If you have what we call penal golf, which is a traditional U.S. Open setup where you have narrow fairways and higher up, there's not that many decisions to make. You either hit it in the fairway or you don't. If you don't hit it in the fairway, you chip back into the fairway and proceed from there. That golf's a lot more boring, in particular when you look at the par fives at the Masters, 13 and 15, a couple of the greatest holes in the world. In fact, I think 13 is the greatest hole in the world. The way they set it up, the range of scoring is anywhere from eagle to double bogey. If they made them longer and they drew in the rough, the range of scoring would go from birdie to bogey, a lot less exciting, a lot less volatile.
Charlie Reimer is with us from the Golf Channel on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. What makes Scottie Scheffler so different from other golfers?
He was just born to do what he does. I've been tracking his career for a long time. Randy Smith, his teacher there in Dallas, you know, had a kid who was a prodigy. He was a tiny kid, you know, at age 12 or 13. I mean, he wasn't hardly 100 pounds. And then he had a growth spurt, you know, in a year. He grew 12 inches. I mean, he's a 6'3", you know, good-sized young man now and, you know, a very different person. But he had to learn the game when he didn't have that size and power. And there's a story of his home club there at Royal Oaks in Dallas playing in the state amateur when he was 14. And there was three or four holes that he couldn't even get to the fairway. He had to try and hit in a walk path. And he actually made the cut in the Texas state amateur as a 14-year-old. So we've known he's been coming for a long time. It's hard to predict you know, young man is going to, you know, get to be number one in the world, but he was USGA junior champion. And he just, you know, he keeps things simple. Randy Smith keeps things simple for him. He's not tinkering all the time. He's just kind of repeating the formula and, you know, into the shot, not into the mechanics. He certainly doesn't get into social media or press or anything like that. And he lives a simple life, and he's a man of faith, and he is who he says he is, and it's nice to see someone like that with that personality and that discipline succeed, it's a little intriguing to watch his golf swing because aesthetically it's not that pretty. It looks like he's got roller skates on. I'm waiting for him to fall down hitting a tee shot at some point. But if you look at the stats, he's clearly head over heels the best ball striker in the game, and he plays with roller skates on. So that is very fascinating from that point of view.
How many times do you think somebody tried to change it and they just said, well, hold on, leave it alone, he's fine?
Well, if they tried to change it, they wouldn't have gotten through Randy Smith, I can assure you that. And there's a lot of Jim Furyk. You know, Jim Furyk is – you know, nobody's tried to copy Scottie Scheffler's golf swing. Nobody's tried to copy Jim Furyk's golf swing. Jim Furyk, last time I checked, still top five all time on the PGA Tour money list. And they've got something that works. That's who they are. It's their DNA, just kind of like your fingerprint. And you have to have the discipline to say, hey, I'm going with this. And that's what both of those guys are doing. And I think that's inspiring for a lot of young people out there. You don't have to have a perfect golf swing to succeed at the highest levels in this game. What you got to do is be really good at getting it in the hole.
Charlie, be really honest. If I told you that my wife is pregnant, first child, I'm going to need to know the situation. Where am I on the course? What day? And what's my chance to win, whether I go or not? How bad a person does that make me of saying that out loud?
Well, it's you know, the second child's a lot different. I got two children. First child, you know, I can see that. Second child, yeah, they'll be fine. You know, as long as you don't see blood, you know, you're not taking them to the hospital. So it's a whole lot different. But, you know, that's who Scotty is. I mean, it's easy to say, well, he's already won the Masters, and money doesn't make any difference. And go for second child. I think it was his first Masters, he'd probably go. That's just kind of a family decisions in that area of our lives, and he said that's what he would do, and I think that's what he will do. I hope he doesn't, but I hope they have a very successful delivery. But she's not due for two or three more weeks, and that first baby comes late, you know, so he's going to be fine. I just don't see it happening.
It'll work itself out.
Charlie, I will say, if it was a John Deere Classic, I might leave. I'm going to be really honest. Right. I might leave.
I understand. Well, a lot of it depends on how well you're playing and what the bank account says, right, too. Yeah, I can understand that guy away because baby diapers are expensive. You know, I mean, there's economics. And really, as a man, there ain't a whole lot we can do around the delivery of that child anyway.
Right.
So, there's good arguments all over the place on that.
Hey, before we let you go, you did extend the invite to Macklemore. For those that don't know, you're the executive VP at Macklemore. And for those that are unaware of what Macklemore is all about, tell the folks and where it is.
Sure, I appreciate the question. We're on Lookout Mountain. We're about 35 miles south of downtown Chattanooga. We're an hour and 50 from Truist Park. It's absolutely spectacular. It's part of the world that I'm from. I was born in Cleveland, Tennessee, but Macklemore is right in that corner where Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama meet. We've got our original golf course that's been ranked in the top one by Golf Digest. Our second one, it's going to be open late summer, early fall, and it's going to be a top 40, no problem. It's spectacular, and we're very proud of our new hotel, the Cloudland. It's a Curio Collection by Hilton. I'm going to say, guys, it's a 4.5-star hotel, 245 bedrooms. It hangs right on the cliff. It's a property that's absolutely going to catch a lot of people by surprise. We've 50-70-mile views everywhere. The food's spectacular. Come see us. You can go to Macklemore.com or StayCloudland.com. Check us out. And unbelievable place. It's my home. I live there, and I'm thrilled to be there and thrilled to be back in the state of Georgia, where I can get down and see the Braves games and see my Yellow Jackets play, too. So, folks, you'll love it.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you got a hell of a place to go to work to every day.
It's tough, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, that's what we say every day. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Charlie Reimer, let us know when you're in town. You can come in studio, hang out, and Domino will make sure you go to a Braves game. Thanks again for the time.
I'd love to do it. Appreciate you guys having me on. Go Braves.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.